And welcome to the return of HalfGuarded.com. I'm your host, Mitch Pomp. My co-host, Dan. Dave Ford. How you doing, Dan?
Exhausted.
Yeah, too good to do the show.
Yeah.
Actually, what happened? Dan was too busy with work, and then I was going to do a show with actually Rob the Nerd, and I was so...
I worked an average of 17 and a half hours a day.
Well, you're not working now, Dan. This is all about fun.
Yeah, I just want to apologize if it was sudden, but... The work stuff just hit the just walked up and knocked the shit out of me last week, and you know, I couldn't be on the show and things fell apart. But here we are.
I was really close to a solo show with making up some viewer questions, but I didn't do that because I'm not that creative. But Dan, I want to kick it off something that kind of broke last week that we didn't get a chance to talk about. That is the comic strip Nancy is back and it's really good. New creator, you heard about that?
Well, it can't have a new creator. That's not how it works.
Well, that's what they call it. In a comic, it's the comic creator. Because they draw and write, so they are creating.
Well, you learn something new. But yeah, I saw those, like, Nancy panels going around. It's like, oh, that's pretty funny.
Well, I thought, like, the bot was like, hilarious. I was like,
yeah, that's...
Because it's making fun of people. Like, it's not taking... It's not, like, too liberal. Or like, I thought it was, like, a very even take.
It was kind of taking a shot at me at, like, a certain kind of liberal on Twitter. Who, like, wants to pretend that secretly everybody in the world is actually a great person, but, like, we're just being, like, the world is just being ruined by bots in Russia and things of that nature. It's like, you know, the inability to understand that some people are kind of shit.
Yes. Also enjoyed the one about, what was it, the teacher who was like, she's like, you can't just play video games all week and the rest of your life and it cut back to what you did that weekend. Because, like, that's true. And then the one about Nancy, maybe the most I've laughed. So, are comic strips back? Question.
I think so. I think this could lead to a, I mean, look, comic strips probably waited like 20 years too late to start appealing to anybody but baby boomers. But, you know, as baby boomers die off, they're finally starting to realize, hey, if this thing's going to exist in 10 years, we probably need to, like, start appealing to somebody other than, like, old people.
Yeah. And the boomers were pissed about Nancy. But I'm not sure. I think just because it's different would seem to be
sure.
The issue.
Yeah. A few of them wanted the old guy to come back, not realizing he's dead, which was my favorite one.
That's like, you remember, like, the Simpsons Mr. Burns joke in the baseball episode where he wants, like, all these players and they all die? And, like,
I want Walter Johnson.
Sir, he's been dead for 30 years.
Sir, he died of a whooping cough after World War One.
I don't mean to spin off because we need to do way more research. A good discussion on this. But is that, like, one of the better sports-themed sitcoms episodes?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's extremely iconic. I think it's one of the iconic moments in the history of baseball, like in other media.
I can't think of though many other great. Like I guess Keith Hernandez on Seinfeld's probably like the best.
Yeah.
The Larry David Shaq episode I thought was great. So there are some. That might be a fun deep dive for you to find out the best sports sitcoms and maybe go in. But Dan, I talked sitcoms because I have resubscribed to Hulu and they have a buku of your favorite things, ABC sitcoms, the late 80s and early 90s. I'm talking Home Improvement. I'm talking Family Matters. I'm talking Dinosaur. I'm talking my new favorite, Perfect Strangers. Step by Step, Dan. How excited are you, Scale 1, for my journey?
These are all things I hated as a 8-year-old, so I'm sure I would absolutely adore them as a 30-year-old.
You may, probably not like Family Matters. Like, I do think Perfect Strangers, I'm only like 5 episodes in, but like it does hold, it's a very good, like, it is a paint-by-the-numbers sitcom, but it's very well done. And like, sometimes that's just what you want. I mean, I did a watch through like 2 years ago of Cheers and Frasier. That was a blast. It's fun just to watch something that doesn't make you think. Just kick back with some alcohol and laugh at people being dumb. You know, we do that too much with TV, where, like, you know, with Westworld, everything has to be intellectual and smart. And, like, we kind of get away from, like, oh, no, dumb shit.
Yeah, I guess.
And not, like, not dumb shit, like reality, like, well-put-together entertainment. But it's just, like, kind of, if that makes sense.
I guess the reason why I don't like the 80s sitcoms is because, to me, 70s sitcoms were when the sitcom really hit its peak. And then in the 80s, it's like, oh, all these, like, fun sitcoms about, like, people who aren't white and rich. Let's get rid of that shit. Let's go back. Let's undo it. Just really a big thing.
How dare you
in general.
I'm dare you insult the great show named Benson, a classic.
Yeah, about about rich people working in politics.
I do have a hard lens, Dan. I will say, like, Silver Spoons, what's a Small Wonder, Family Ties, Give Me the Shit All Day, hook it into my veins. I love 70s stuff, too, but there's
My Two perfect, Dads.
My Two Dads.
My Two Dads is the most contrived bullshit of a story to come up with. But, like, well, both of these guys might be my dad, and a judge has forced them to both raise me, and the judge owns the building they live in, instead of just, like, yeah, my dad's a queer.
I feel like that we get away from that, like, just dumb, contrived premises, because, like, oh, everything has to make sense.
I think it's because there was a lot of, like, going out around your ass to get to your elbow to, like, basically this is a show about two gay men, but we can't have it be about two gay men, because it's the 80s. Yeah. So... oh, they dress up like women so they can be in a women's all-women's dormitory, which that's a thing that definitely exists for grown-ass men. Hey,
is that a thing? Is that even a thing then? Like, it's just like
all one of those women made-up boarding concepts. Houses. Like, that probably existed in, like, L.A. noir times. I don't think that existed in the 80s,
well, like,
New York.
Well, was it most of those people that were writing shows then were both assumed?
Well, you also had that thing where, like, in Hollywood, there was, like, this core of writers who had been around since Dragnet, who still had jobs.
Yeah.
And then they had to somehow figure out how to be relatable. Like, my favorite thing is to watch Dragnet episodes about, like, 60s counterculture, and that they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, like Blue Boy.
Blue Boy's a classic one. One of them is where, like, this woman, like, wants to have free love, but then she ends up being killed by a serial killer who kills her, like, mob, like, Chicago mob style. In, like, this most vicious way possible. Well,
yeah.
The Chicago mob used to have a thing. Or no, it wasn't Chicago. It was the Murder, Inc. guys from the 30s in New York. They would, like, hog-tie you, or they would tie your neck to your feet and then, like, have your legs bent back with your hands and your feet tied together with, like, and then a rope tied from that to your neck.
You know,
and you would slowly,
we still
you would slowly
everywhere.
Strangle yourself as you tried to get free. And, like, that's what Dragnet had.
Yeah.
But Dragnet was the first show to realize that American Billy liked to see, like, brutal, horrifying crimes described.
Fucked up shit on there. I will say that, like, with the 80s stuff, I'm just, especially, like, early 90s, late 80s, and maybe because it was just, like, when I was born, but, like, couldn't really understand the world still, because I was, like, 3. It's just fun to, like, kind of go back and look at how life was back then, and it looks like fucking syphilis shit if you're, like, a straight white guy. Or even, like, Or even, like, a really well-qualified gay man. Like, you're going to have a blast. Like, it seemed like we had everything right.
I think you're missing out on one big thing about the late 80s when it comes to life as a gay man. I think you've forgotten
Well,
a real big thing.
Well-closeted. Fucking.
Yeah, I think well, that's not fun.
Well, maybe he's using condoms. He's freaked because he's, like, a stereotypical gay man. Very neat. So he would never let a clean penis go.
Sure.
Or non-clean. But I will say that, like, it felt like just, like, a full time. Like, you didn't have a fucking cell phone with you. You didn't have all this other bullshit. So, I wish I could kind of go back in time to, like, 80s stuff. See what it was like. Maybe stay there, Dan. That's where I'm at right now. I'm thinking about time traveling, but just to, like, 1980s stuff.
Well, I'm because of Art Bell's death, I'm really obsessed with, like, conspiracy theories, especially, like, 80s and 90s conspiracy theory shows, because I'm like real big into, like, John T.
Mm-hmm. That's the bar rescue guy.
That was a very, like, it was like one of the first, like, message board conspiracy theories. A guy used to post on, like, the Art Bell message board, and he claimed he was from 2035, and these dumbass believed him.
I've heard of this. And he, like, the gimmick went on forever, right? But it was some shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, all good message board gimmicks. And they go on forever, and a bunch of different people get the user account and just start posting.
Like Thug N-Word.
Sure. Yeah. I might know who that is.
I still don't know. Or was that one guy? We're getting off. But Dan, I want to shift gears in just a second, but I'm going to talk about this first. So we can talk about spring football games are here. How little are we caring, or are we not caring? Is there anything important to look at as your team either has played their spring game or maybe is going to play one?
I think the only real thing you could take out of spring games is who's suited up. So, like, that can tell you who's injured or who's in a doghouse or who's getting yelled at or, like, who's pissing somebody off, you know, which I think is something to pay attention. I think beyond that, like, can't go by how somebody plays. because that's pointless. That doesn't tell you anything. You know, I think as long as you keep it like, okay, who's playing, like, I think the number one thing you can take out of it is, like, let's say you've got a bunch of new players starting this year at a certain position group. You can look at, okay, who's got the inside track to be playing? Because you can kind of tell by who gets to play with the starters. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, they're leaning to that guy to be too defensive. Does he look like he knows what he's doing? Yay, nay? Okay. You know, that's sort of the stuff you can take out of spring.
Yeah, or like this kid converted from wide receiver to safety. How's he kind of looking? Just doing basic.
Yeah, does not, can he backpedal without tripping?
Yeah, exactly. It's not that he's looking good or bad. It's like, how is he adapting position? Because you can't really judge whether he's going to be great or not. You can kind of tell if it's going to work a little bit from spring. The big thing I'm going to judge, though, is Crowderton. What fan bases are pumped? And, like, if you look at UGA, I think a full sellout for a spring game this year. Look at Tennessee, not so good. Those fans are still not very excited.
I think Nebraska was number one, if I'm not mistaken.
A&M, I think, had a giant, could do, I think, had a pretty big spring game.
Well, they better for what they just paid for Jimbo Fisher. Yeah. They better sell some fucking tickets.
I think you saw, like, Auburn's was down, but, like, also, like, when judging attendance, like, was it raining that day? Is a deal.
Yeah. And a lot of it is just like, okay, is there anything new? And in Auburn's case, it's like, no, they're going to keep being Auburn. So it's like, well, like, what is there to come see?
Well, and like, as their MO has been, like, they're not going to show you. And most teams aren't going to show you a lot.
Well, I don't think, willingness to show a lot of stuff has a lot to do with the spring. I think it's just a matter of what is there new to be excited about? Because, like, Nebraska, they had the number one attendance. And why? Because the favorite son just came home.
Yeah.
You know, after years of them being garbage, they now have hope they'll be good again.
Well, no, you bring that up, Dan. I want to transition to this. UCF had their spring. They rose a banner declaring themselves national champions. They have rings and everything.
I don't know
if we talk about this. I'm on board with it. It makes a mockery of national champions. I think we've done this before, Dan, but I think the whole concept of a national champion in college football, dumb as shit. You can like it, and that's fine, but, like, understand at the end of the day, like, it'd be stupid because, like, none of these teams play each other all. They play in different conferences. It's hard
until we have, like, a legit, like, team playoff. It feels like it's not real.
Yeah, but even then, who's making it, who's not, it's kind of based on who.
Well, you have to be, like, conference champion.
Yeah, but even then, some conferences aren't as, you know, at least, like, if the NFL, you're playing teams from other conferences, you're getting an idea of how you match up against the rest of the league. You're never going to get that in college structure. That's fine. Because I don't think we really fucking need a national team. I think everybody should just play bowl games.
I think if you shave the FCS game out, and so instead of playing 12 regular season games, you played 11. And, you know, you had a conference championship game, so that's your 12th game. And then you played, you know, two or three playoff games. I think that would make everybody a lot more money than what they currently do. Yeah. But there'd be a group of people who currently make money who would suddenly not make any money, and that would be bowl organizers. And the bowl organizers kick back to school administrators to keep it the way it is.
No, well, like, I'm almost more on board with this. Like, I don't want this because you make the bowl games not feel important.
But who cares? They're not important
talk about
now.
Here's why, Dan. When we talk about Central Florida, when they play an Auburn team who honestly didn't give a shit.
That's bullshit.
No, bullshit.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
absolutely
so much better.
They absolutely did give a shit, and then they just got their ass beat because
not until it was very late, and UCF was the better team that day. But if you're Auburn, you just had a chance to go to the playoffs. You missed out. You blew it, and your big chance. Why are you going to care about the shit?
Because the fucking Central Florida called you slow and said you weren't any good.
Who cares?
And then you fired up. They specifically, before the game happened, said, we're going to teach those fuckers a lesson. And then instead of teaching them a lesson, they got beat.
Well, but
like,
Dan,
every big school claims they didn't care after they get their ass beat.
No.
They
Dan,
all do also, that.
No, but here's also the other thing. You had a team with a lot of injuries where guys did. That was the case. That was the hard truth with Auburn. You had, I think it was like
The hard truth with Auburn is that they weren't as good as Central Florida. That's the hard truth.
Well, the hard truth was then no one was.
The hard truth was the fifth and the sixth best team in the country played each other for the national champion because the way everything broke down and the way the fucking seeding ended up working.
But to be fair, Dan, Auburn was dealing with a lot of injuries.
Everybody's got injuries. Central Florida's got injuries. like everybody's got some injuries. Like the idea that nobody has injuries except them is.
But it's not that. It's like the injuries that were key guys. That's not fair. Everyone does have injuries, and that's fine. But when your injuries are guys who matter, need to play, that's what makes your team good. That's when you can maybe excuse situations for injury. I don't think that's unfair. I think if your key guys are hurt, yes. But if UCF's guys that are hurt were mostly rotating defensive linemen or the special teams guys, then that's not the same injuries as Auburn when you're missing your starting linebacker. You're missing a starting corner. You've got a starting running back who shouldn't be playing because of injury. He's playing out of heart like an idiot. I think those are, and you have the issue with Stidham, your quarterback, when people forget that. So I think
How can you tell if Jared Stidham has an arm injury? He plays like crap regardless.
Pretty much. Until he makes one pass, you're like, oh.
Like Jared Stidham, if you told me Jared Stidham just always had like a constant like Bob Orton-esque arm injury, I'd believe you.
And like his issue too is like, you see why he'll probably go like top 10 NFL draft next year, and you also see why he'll be a major. He looks good sometimes, and it looks good a lot when it counts, but puts himself in positions where he has to make stuff count, like a shittier Brett Favre.
That's kind of the Wisconsin quarterback, whose name I've forgotten. But Wisconsin's quarterback is like laser accurate at fitting balls in between four guys. The problem is he doesn't have a lot of arm strength, and he throws a lot of passes in the middle of four guys. So, like, even though he's really, really accurate, if you throw into four guys a lot, they're going to pick it off at least a third of the time because you're literally trying to throw the hardest passes in football.
And Dan, I want to talk about this before we maybe jump into some basketball here. You probably didn't see this. It was, like, more of a SEC West Twitter thing. Mississippi State fans... more or less rated the account Auburn beat right on Twitter because he had the audacity to say he didn't think Mississippi State might not win. Who's the crazy person?
Mississippi State's always the crazy
people. Yeah. Because, like, even if they've been decent, you just lost your coach. You have Dak Prescott.
They also were the Mississippi State fringe was trying to run Dan Mullen off for not winning 10 games off.
Yeah.
So that's Mississippi State's idiot fringe. Like...
Yeah, where, like, they're like, oh, 10's a given. In this West? He's like, I mean, look, you got to assume LSU. I might be wrong again.
You don't have to assume it. LSU might go 4-8.
You have to assume LSU will probably be.
I don't. I expect Mississippi State to be.
That's interesting, because we are looking. We can get into this. Obviously,
That's such an insanely over-the-top coaching mismatch that, yeah.
Who's the Mississippi State coach again?
Joe Moorhead.
Where was he from?
Penn State's offensive coordinator who got there right as Penn State became.
Boy Tusher.
Well, no, he came in after all. Like, he was James Franklin's second coordinator.
Well, just because you come into the Catholic Church, all the scandals.
Pope Francis says hello.
And Pope Benedict says goodbye. What's that kind of talk?
Joe Moorhead was also the architect of Fordham's football program. Like Fordham for years didn't have scholarships. And then when they finally decided they wanted to start playing major athletics again, he was the guy who turned Fordham into an FCS powerhouse up in New York City. He's basically like on the cutting edge of all RPO.
It will be interesting to see how Mississippi State does, but I don't think saying that they might win 8-10 makes you a bad
person. Well, even if they win 8 games, I think LSU's 5. I do think they'd LSU.
I think, Dan, we both thought LSU would be better last year.
Yeah, and then we remembered Ed Orgeron's a shitty coach.
Well, no, I think we were probably like those who talk themselves a good president.
It'll work. It's changed. Yeah. Like, yeah, he surrounded himself with like smart people, and then you find out, oh yeah, like the one smart person he surrounded himself with, he fired almost, and then replaced him with like a 75-year-old dude who thinks dinosaurs were put on Earth to fool us.
Well, they were,
and test our faith. Yeah, Carl Everett for life.
Is that who's on? Is that their offensive coordinator now?
Carl Everett, the angry baseball player who thought dinosaurs.
The offensive. Where did our boy? Did our boy Matt Canada job?
It was in the ACC. Mm. Hold on, let me check that.
Look that up.
I'm almost positive.
Crockett U. Wow, that's wild.
Him and he's being taught by the Boogie Woogie. Maryland. So not ACC, but ACC.
But really, an ACC. Maryland is.
That's a very good hire by Maryland.
Yeah, well, Maryland's a program on the rise.
Maryland would have been a bowl team last year if they didn't have, like, every quarterback get hurt.
Well, and maybe if they're the ACC.
I think if
they're better than, like, Wake or Virginia.
I think they were comparable to them. I think the issue is they're in the Big Ten East. Like, Maryland needs to be petitioning for that inner-outer. Like, that was a thing that was brought up is, like, okay, you put, like, Michigan State, you know, Illinois, Purdue, and Indiana in one division, and then you put like Rutgers, Maryland, Penn State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota in the other, which would like give them a chance to win that.
All right, before we get done with college, anything else from the world college football we can discuss? It's been a slow new year. Is that fair? Maybe there was just as little going on last year, but this year feels a little bit less newsy in the offseason than maybe last year.
I think one of the interesting things to look at, and maybe it's just because of the world I'm living in, is like the Florida State people adjusting to being a spread team. Mm-hmm. Because like for so many years, Florida State has made it its identity that we're pro style. And
that's why they make more sense as a spread team.
I mean, and so because that's just what the state of Florida has become. Like, but
yeah, I think traditionally with Florida State, like guys who come out of there, I'm like, oh, they would have worked great. Like even like Chris Winkie probably would have been a pretty spread quarterback.
I mean, basically he was just Brandon Weeden, like 10 years younger.
Yeah, well,
or 10 years earlier.
10 years, but 10 years older.
Yeah. But like, they basically,
like with what though Florida State traditionally recruits fits in well with this dynamic. Does that make sense?
I feel like Bobby Bowden always had like spread type running backs that he tried to run out of the eye with.
Yeah,
which is why Work Dunn is the only running back he ever had. It was the shit because Work Dunn was the only one who could do that.
And because Work Dunn was like maybe one of the most underrated running.
That's yeah, everybody's forgotten about Work Dunn. Fuck it, Work Dunn was great.
Look what the NFL and the Falcons, a team that literally ran every play for multiple.
Well, he was one of three back.
But they all got 1,000.
Yes, all three of them got 1,000 yards.
That's wild.
I think a lot of Florida State people have spent a lot of time telling themselves that the reason why they're such good recruiters is because they're the one pro style team in the state of Florida.
No, and like they're good recruiters because like they have a cool program. Like it's just cool. Like you have the Seminole Chop, you have the music. You know,
you're also like, I think Bobby Bowden said this. It's like, well, if you had to pick a place to start a football team from scratch, like Tallahassee was probably it because you could recruit in-state all the Florida kids, and you're on the Gulf, so you could go get like kids who live on the Gulf in like Mississippi and Alabama, and like, yeah, this is exactly where you'd want to be if you started one from scratch because you're in the middle of all the talent.
I always thought this was an underrated part, especially for like all the three major Florida schools, was like they kind of like a cool culture too. Like if you're an 18-year-old kid, it's kind of cool to go play for Florida State, Miami, or like they have a cool swaggy vibe. Unlike a school like Virginia. Like, if Virginia was in Tallahassee, they wouldn't be any better. Because, like, they don't have a cool vibe to it. Is that fair to say?
Well, I don't think Florida has a cool vibe. Like, Florida for years was, like, the stuffy, uptight Virginia-type school.
No, and, like, Florida is the third tier of, you know, if we're going to rank the better schools of the Big Three, it's not a knock on Florida. But
They have like passed Miami. Yeah. They have passed Miami just by virtue of they have
way more money
than Miami.
Yeah, but like orange and green is fucking cool, you know? I think there's something to that. And then like with FSU, like if you're an 18-year-old kid, it's hard not to pick them. It's cool. But like if I got to pick Auburn FSU completely on swag, I'm taking FSU every time I'm an 18, you know? Or even Alabama before, you know, if Alabama wasn't one, and they were just like a school that won a national championship every 5 years or whatever. You still gotta look at FSU. A little more swag there. A little bit more cool. You get to wear black. That kind of shit helps.
You have John Anderson's hit song, Seminole Wind. Seminole's
approved.
There's no racism at Florida State.
No.
That is for sure.
Did you see the story about the Florida State quarterback? Where the Tallahassee were following him for months because they thought he was a drug dealer and had like 4 pounds of pot and he had like less than it and they raided him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well, I think part of it was like the Jameis Winston thing made the Tallahassee Police Department like.
But like he raped somebody. Like,
but like, I think it put a giant magnifying glass on how tight the program was with the school, and I think that caused some changes to happen. Yeah. To where now they maybe as far as their relationship with the football team.
Now you're getting mad about like the college kid selling in Florida, heaven forbid. But you let like rapists get away with it, like. It doesn't look better if you're a Tallahassee. That's probably a discussion for another day. As Dan gets ready to die here.
I have the tuberculosis.
420 is over, man.
God. Is there anything like weed as a personality?
I mean, yeah, it's Jesus. Being like a Christian. It's lame. But in America, right now, it's the lamest thing. Always. A Christian or an atheist. Anyone who's into religion.
Well, I feel like if you're the cool Christian. I feel like that's on the upswing.
No, that's still lame.
Like loving Christian.
Who's a cool loving Christian? That isn't a dork.
Well, they're all on the underground, right? Like, they're all waiting to take over, like, when the boomers die.
Well, like, the Velvet Elvis guy?
Who?
Blue Like Jazz? Like, Ron Baker? Like, Tammy Faye Baker's, like, a woke creep, I thought?
Maybe, but I feel like that there was this movement when I was in college of, like, churches that were in, like, bars, or, like, old bars that had gone out of business, and they were just like, you know, we just love everybody. Like, don't come in here and, like, try to, like, harsh on people. Like, we just love each other, and then we play music. And it seemed like a sex cult, kind of. Like
Donald Miller? I don't know. I don't want to deep dive into mid-aughts leftist Christianity. That's a whole other show.
Well, look, the history of Christianity in America is that it goes in, like, it ebbs and it flows. And we're definitely at a ebb, yes, where, like, the baby boomers have thoroughly fucked up American Christianity.
Yeah, because they didn't want anything to do with it either.
But, like, that just means that, like, a new version of American Christianity is about to pop up for the millennials.
Or then, will it be Islam, Sharia law, take it over?
God darn Sharia.
Fucking Sharia law. I'm glad we never had anything like that in America. Also, you couldn't buy alcohol Sunday in the South.
You still can't where I live.
There you go. Well, we had to boat.
You can't buy alcohol at all where I live. What am I saying?
Ooh, yes. Yeah, that's, like, another thing. And it's purely, like, biblical.
Yeah, so that's exactly. Yeah. The Bible is actually really all about not letting you.
They're drinking wine the whole time, though.
No, the only thing they have to justify that is not Song of Solomon. It's Proverbs, where he was like, "Hey, you should drink. It'll make you, like, not successful." But, like,
which is probably, like, one of those things in the Bible where it's like talking about.
Yeah, like, don't be drunk all the time. It's not good. Like, also, like, Proverbs is basically, like, one long, like, it's like the original self-help book.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's like, it's,
don't be an alcoholic because you might not be that.
Like, nothing, like, nothing in Proverbs is about, like, okay, these are, like, this is, like, law, or this is, like, God's law. It's all, like, advice. Like, well, this is what you should do if you want to be successful in life.
It's like how Song of Solomon tells you how to eat out a girl.
I mean, literally, he does.
It's as if you want your girl to come, you gotta eat ass.
You gotta put your mouth there.
Song of Solomon, 38:12.
Eat the whole ass.
That's why millennials love eating ass.
Because we're good. Old Testament godly Christians.
Godly kids. I want to transition now, Dan, good godly NBA. And I'm going to say it. This has been one of the best first rounds in NBA history.
In the Golden State Warriors era, I feel like every year the first round has been kind of the best round.
Yeah.
And then,
I think,
like,
that's fair to say. But this one, though, feels like it's, maybe it has more to do with LeBron going down on, like, maybe the worst team he's had since 07.
I would say definitely the worst team he's had since 07.
And not even, like, worst talent-wise, just, like, they haven't been dealt with.
I think it's worst talent-wise.
I think there's more talent.
I think
on
this is, like,
team.
A guaranteed top three pick. LeBron's not playing him.
Oh, but, I mean, Jordan Clarkson's probably better than
him. Maybe.
Larry Nance Jr. is better than, like, Arthur Riddick Shaq. I think that's fair to say. But also, like, the Pelicans, like, we had a sweep, and it was one of the more intriguing sweeps ever. So I want to kind of talk about that. How fucked is Portland, or are they going to just kind of keep doing the same thing? What do you think happens there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just completely rip off Matt Moore, but I feel like this is the year everybody, like, just finally realizes you're actually worse off if you're a team that always overachieves in the regular season. Because it means you don't have an extra gear for the playoffs. You've switched into that high gear in the regular season. And when it comes playoff time, all of your opponents have all of the tape of you playing at your heart. And so
the only team I've seen really kick that gear up, I mean, we're watching it now. Utah's kind of shit out of the Thunder. And Utah's really turned it up to it. They had a fifth gear, I don't think. Especially with the way Donovan Mitchell's so on. That's interesting. Is Portland, do they blow this shit up? What do you do if you're in charge? If you own Portland, man, you're the Microsoft man yourself.
I mean, I think you go into next year going, all right, guys, you got to show me something.
You know? I need a second round. You know, we're not asking for a change.
I think you tell your general manager you've got to get something in the offseason.
Well, what do you do? What do you do if LeBron goes, say, fuck it? Not say fuck it, but you maybe plan for 5 years down the road.
Yeah, I
which
think
means getting rid of Dana.
Yeah, I think you do start looking.
This is kind of the opposite of the case. Like, in the East, you know, it's just funny if, like, Portland happened to be, for some reason,
maybe
really
Toronto.
Well,
you know, like, Toronto's probably going to make a final if LeBron goes and gets swept. and not come within 20 points of winning the game. Which is why, ultimately, I don't think LeBron's going to... Like, that's why I don't think the Houston thing's going to happen.
The only thing that makes it is Houston or, like, some weird thing with San Antonio we don't understand. But it's something that we had no evidence to understand.
I don't see him going to San Antonio without being able to play with Kawhi. And it looks like Kawhi's
done. Well, maybe Kawhi comes...
I don't know. Kawhi seems like to have made up his mind.
No, we'll see. That's what you just never know. This is the NBA. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
But literally anything can happen. We've seen over this past decade, for sure.
I'm just looking forward to LeBron James, Toronto Raptor.
I don't think we don't.
So he can increase his global brand.
No one was living.
I don't know. He lives in fucking Cleveland.
He's from there, though. That's different. Like,
I know, but from... like, I mean, I feel like if you're from cold weather America, Toronto's not really that bad.
I think he feels like he owes him something. I think that's the difference.
You don't think he feels like he's fulfilled that?
No, I think he does now, but I think he went back. He felt like he owed them. Not that he didn't, but that's how.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say, as we're watching now, this Donovan Mitchell, good little NBA. He's really kicked it up now in the playoffs here. We're at the point where, I mean, he's already won an older guy. He's 21. We're thinking maybe Donovan Mitchell's a top 15 guy in 2 or 3 years. Old, I mean, he's helped out a lot because well coached.
If I'm Gordon Hayward, I'm looking up and going, man, I fuck.
Well, maybe not, though. LeBron leaves Boston. Look what they're doing without.
Sure, you know, like, without, yeah. If LeBron leaves, then, like, Boston is definitely the finals, period. Like, there's no way around that. They're definitely making the finals next year.
There's a pesky team in Philadelphia, and there's a team in Milwaukee. Maybe they can take a look at Mike Budenholzer. Could turn into a really big threat.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the next major story to me of the offseason. What does Milwaukee do with their coaching? What does Portland do?
Does Minnesota look at their coach and maybe go,
you can't be happy with this. Like, even though you are playing the Rocket, the team, they're not playing well.
They threw a game away. Like, that's the thing. They threw a game away because Jimmy Butler and Towns had the lowest, usage rates of, like, anybody in their team because Derek fucking Rose, you know, had to lead the team in usage. I mean, there's no real way around that. Like, Derek Rose should not be an NBA player. Derek Rose is not good enough to play in the... And yet, because of your coach, he was getting starters minutes and leading the team in usage.
Which is also a bit of an indictment on Jeff Teague. But I'm a guy who's watched a lot of Jeff Teague. Probably seen a good Wake Forest. Just not a great clutch player. I don't want Jeff Teague handling the ball when things matter. Because I've seen it, and he literally drops the
not the dick.
Well, there was one series, though, I think 2 to 3 years ago with the Hawks when they're playing Boston, and they gave him the ball last possession, quarter tie game, and he literally dropped the ball and, like, fell over trying to grab it. He looked like someone had fell over and, like, shit.
I hate when that happens.
To me, it's Jeff Teague. That is Jeff Teague's whole career in a nutshell. Just good enough to be given a chance, and you don't know what the fuck to do. That's kind of what we've seen from him. As for other series, we get a chance to talk about. Did you get the chance to see Mono yesterday or Sunday?
No, I didn't.
Crazy fourth quarter from them. It was good to see the Spurs get a win, especially. I think Pops wasn't there at his wife's funeral.
That's so shitty.
I wonder if that's one of those you wonder if maybe Golden State like didn't throw the game, but made it as hard.
I mean, it feels like the sort of thing that would take the wind out of basically everybody.
Yeah, like you do.
And be just one of those games where everybody's kind of weirded out. Because it's like Popovich is well-liked even by opponents. He's one of the respected guys in the NBA.
No, I think the Warriors respect Hunter.
Yeah,
the organization definitely respects San Antonio. So I wonder if, and it's like one of those things where like we talk about analytics from inside sometimes. And it's like when something like that happens, maybe you're not going to, and it does change. Which, like, Golden State is a 100% better team than the Spurs and probably would have swept under circumstances. But when shit like... when weird outside shit happens, changes the game. I think that's something I think we forget sometimes in our new analytics era. It's like we forget that they're humans and not robots.
Yeah, it's not 2K.
Yeah, I think that's a big issue for a lot of, especially like when an injury happens. I think we forget that like you don't just magically get better. It's a lot of work, and sometimes it doesn't work out. Weird chance and genetics and all that bullshit. You know, that's like with Cousins. I'm not going to say he's going to come back great or come back and be awful. So no, because it's up to the person. We can't know, especially with shit like injuries, until we see what happens. Until we see the results, there's no reason. I think that's a big part of it. Another series of I'm pretty intrigued by Philadelphia. I think Ben Simmons is the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a skeptic about this Sixers team, but it's like I mean, you have to start going, you know? You know?
I mean, the pieces are there. They're well coached. I mean, Burt Brown's done a great Philadelphia. I mean, you can say the Heat maybe don't have as much talent, but they do have a great culture there. They're well coached. And the 76ers are kind of going back and forth, but I do respect that. So it's just been, like I said, it's just been a fun first round. Maybe, like, and the games have all been, you know, that Milwaukee game, a lot of buzzer beaters and overtime, wild stories, you know, the game, a few days ago with LeBron versus Lance Stephenson and whatever the fuck that battle. So I would say this has been one of the better first rounds, not just from a game perspective, but the storyline of what's really making it. And we have Toronto might blow this thing versus Washington. That could very well happen.
I think we are hoping it would happen because it'd be very, very funny. Bad.
Especially like a team like the Wizards who literally looked done two games where everyone was like, you can't even break this up. But maybe that's why the Wizards are going to maybe do well because it's like one of those bad marriages. It's like, well, we can't. So either make this work or die. So we'll kind of see what happens there. Dan, I want to get to one more thing before we get out of here. This week, NFL draft time.
I cannot believe Josh Allen is going to be the first overall pick. I can't believe, I know Cleveland's stupid. I know. I can't believe they're going to fuck up this badly.
No, because you think he would just trade back and take Lamar? Because here's the interesting thing I've read. As Lamar Jackson with coaches, the perception of him around the league has gone from like, oh, he's really dumb, to like, oh no, he's actually a
of course player. It was! He's played for the most advanced passing offense in the NCAA.
Of
like,
course.
And say what you want about Bobby Petrino, but like, yeah. Ryan Mallett is still in the NFL because his college offense was so much more advanced.
How many of those guys are coaching? How many of those former Louisville, Brom? Was that the Louisville Brom?
Well, one of the Brom brothers played for Bobby Petrino and the other one coached under.
The guys who either played or whatever are involved from a brain standpoint. And it just kind of shows you like how dumb scouts are. This guy don't talk right. Smart. Well, yeah, not smart to regular people. For football, he's a genius. All that matters.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed by anybody who could look at Josh Allen and look at some of the other quarterbacks in this draft and not think, oh, this is the worst guy in the draft. Like, Bill Connolly had a pretty great article on SB Nation, and I know you don't like, but the thing that Bill Connolly argued is that statistics can't tell you who's going to be good. They can't. But they can tell you how good somebody can be. Nobody ever is better than their college statistics. And it's pretty obvious why. Like, the NFL is harder than college.
Well, so one guy was, Dan.
Who?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady? Okay. Tom Brady played for, like, a historic... Like, if somebody's going to outperform their statistics,
it has to be a very special...
You have to, like, prove... Yeah. That a guy played on a particularly really stupid offensive coach.
Yeah, it has to be a special niche situation.
Like, you have to go, okay, your offensive coordinator in college was a dumb shit. Like, if that's not your argument, if you can't show me that, then get the fuck out of here.
Or you didn't fall into a system that played itself to your strengths.
Sure. But I think that goes into your college coach was a dumb shit.
Yeah, and college coaches now are too.
Sure, I mean, and there's a thing that changes over time. Like, college football has changed drastically from when Tom Brady was in college.
Yeah.
Like, most offenses at the college level now are extremely quarterback dependent.
No, it was 20, I mean, it's 2 decades ago.
Like,
It was literally 3 presidents ago, and 2 of those had a full term.
Like 2 decades ago, the average, like, college offense involved the quarterback handing off at least 2/3 of the time.
Well, Dan, here's how I think about it. Back then, the PlayStation was the most impressive technology there was. PS1.
So, I mean, when you look at what's going on today in college football, like, most offenses, if your quarterback's throwing a lot, he's throwing it like 40 times a game. And if you are a running team, the quarterback is doing RPO plays where, like, he decides when to hand off at the line of scrimmage, which requires an ability to read defenses on the fly, you know, in a way that's, you know, a lot more advanced.
And that's, like, damn, what I never got about, like, scout. I mean, I know why it felt that way. You're all, like, old, racist, white guys. But, like, how could you watch Lamar Jackson and realize, knowing a small bit of research, knowing all the decisions he has to make every single play in that offense, and still not think, like, this guy can't make it?
Well, then you look at Sam Darnold, and you look at how, like, bone stupid his offense. Like, the argument for Sam Darnold is that his offensive coach is not very good, and he still put up crazy good numbers.
Well, no, and it's like one of those dumb arguments. And it's one of those where, like, well, he didn't wear a wristband and knew all the words to, like, a 27, you know, word.
Yeah, play. He doesn't. He's like, he didn't run your shitty West Coast offense from 1994.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, here's the beauty. A team just won the goddamn Super Bowl with literally a fucking D-plus at quarterback running RP. What do you think is going to happen when good quarterbacks do that?
Yeah, I think that's I think that's why I can't understand Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen is literally DeMarcus. Like, what was his name?
DeMarcus Russell?
He's DeMarcus Russell.
DeMarcus. Yeah, not appropriate.
He's 6'8". He's a reasonably good athlete for a guy that size. He could throw the ball a million yards, and he has literally no idea where. And the other comparison I heard was Jake Locker, which also, it's like he has every measurable you would ever want, except he can't hit the broadside of the barn.
No, and then I think we probably watched more Wyoming should have to see Josh. Last year, which was supposed to be the year it really clicked for him, right? In Wyoming. And he was just awful at times. Like,
he single-handedly fucked them out of winning the Mountain West. They had the best defense in the group of five.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like,
that's when people, when people talk about, oh, he didn't have enough around him. He had the best defense in the group of five.
Well, Dan, but it's not even that, too. It's like when he threw a pass, it's not like a guy dropped it, ran the, just overthrew guys for like 5 or 10 yards sometimes.
Nobody could have caught it.
Yeah, well, Dan, like, you remember, like, Jeremy Johnson from Auburn? That's what he reminded me of. Like, a guy who just, he thinks going to be good, and he looks good in practice, and he gets out there, and it's like, he can't throw a pass in the middle of the field.
Yep.
You can't hit a guy that's wide open at 50 in the sticks, I mean, between the hash marks, what are you going to, you know? You can't do something that simple, you know? How are things really going to work out?
My favorite thing also is, like, oh, his teammates let him down. And then, motherfucker, like, Jackson had the highest percentage of drop passes of any quarterback in the draft. And he had no offensive line. Josh Allen had the lowest percentage of drop passes of any quarterback.
But Dan, you forget that Lamar Jackson wore the wrong kind of shoes, the Heisman.
You know, and like my argument for Josh Rosen is always, like, I feel like he was the best quarterback who played for the worst coaching staff. And that's typically, when I try to look at who I think is going to be a great All-Pro, I try to look at the guys who put up the best numbers, who had the best measurables, and who played for the dumbest people in college.
Well, no, and I think, like, the beauty with Rosen is, like, they talk about the negative, like, well, he doesn't have to. I think that makes him even better, because from an individual standpoint, where he's not going to put up with bullshit and say, like, okay, this doesn't work, I'm going to quit and become an accountant, or finance, whatever the fuck.
A lot of that is just
and make more money, do
like,
it.
I feel like almost all of that is just, and that's the same shit. Well, that, like, white dudes was, like, have always said about Jews.
Yeah, well, like, to be fair, he was, like, an economics man. Like, he is a smart... I think he's a guy who probably could go work for Wall Street tomorrow and probably...
No, he couldn't. He's the wrong politic to get a job in Wall Street.
No, he'd just be, like, one of those woke... or Silicon, whatever. You know, he could be the woke...
I don't think he's that smart. I think he's just, like, compared to the average, like, quarterback, he's pretty clever.
What is... Like, he had a good GPA in finance.
I guess. But he's also getting, like, major college sport tutor.
Yeah, but so do most guys on Wall Street.
Sure.
I mean, Dan, look at the world we live in, where Jared Kushner is, like, fifth most powerful man.
Yeah, but he doesn't have Jared Kushner money. Like, he's rich compared to the average, like, college athlete. That doesn't mean he has, like, Jared Kushner, fuck you. Like, fuck you, I can be retarded.
I'm just saying, like, I think, like, a fun advantage of him, though, is probably might have the balls to go, no, this doesn't work, why are we doing stupid?
But see, like, I think that's so overplayed, because if he was really that way, he would have just quit football during UCLA. Because his coach was a moron, and he had three different offensive coordinators.
Well, like, but maybe... I just mean more of, he might be more willing to speak out early on if he doesn't like what an offense. And I do like that. That was my main, that's what I was trying to, like, drive around, was he maybe had a little more balls, a big, dumb idiot.
Josh Rosen, though, reminds me the most of Russell Wilson. Which, like, the thing about Russell Wilson is his college coach was a dumb shit. Tom O'Brien, whose, like, idea of offense was just line up in the shotgun. Never run zone read, even though you had a super athletic quarterback, and never actually, like, try to run the ball. Like, they just tried to run, like, inside zone out of the shotgun, and that's it. So, like, they averaged, like, a yard and a half a carry, and so their whole offense was Russell Wilson scrambling and throwing passes. And then he goes to play for Wisconsin. He literally has a week to learn the playbook, but their playbook is so small that it's like, all right, yeah, I got it. Like, and it's not surprising to me that he ended up being the best quarterback in that draft because, like, well, yeah, this guy never got to play for a competent coach in his entire college career, and yet he put up these crazy good numbers. Like, that's who you look for. You look for the guy who puts up great stats who has nothing around.
I have some breaking news, kind of. Well, it's from 2 hours ago from ESPN. Julio Jones, absent from workouts, he's Falcons picks from his Instagram.
Oh, shit.
Does this matter? Or is this price?
Instagram is always the most important.
But
I mean, that
could also be like one of those dumb athletes. Like, I'm not going to think.
That is true. He might be. Like, has anybody found out where he is? Is he in Cancun?
Is he? Well, is he going to be traded? That's the speculation. Be traded. So let's say this. Let's say.
Why would you trade Julio Jones?
I mean, if someone's going to give you like 3 first round picks, probably.
I guess. I mean, he's really good still, isn't
he? Yeah, but he's old. I mean, if you can get 3 first round picks for anybody, take it. If they're not a quarterback. If they're not a quarterback or they're not Aaron Donald, that's the time. And even then, I'd probably be 3 first Aaron Donald. Maybe we'll see something on draft night, but it's something else to speculate and look forward to. Will Julio maybe be
who would be the most likely to trade for?
I can see the Giants. I mean, you've got a pick in the top 5. They're not a really well-run team. They could blow it all up in terms of what they could rebuild in the future for maybe one last run with Julio. I mean, Julio, it'd be hard for Eli to be bad with the 2 guys, you know, to his left and right. It's kind of like the only team, because I don't think Buffalo would do it. Maybe Indy, the Colts, but they've already traded back. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they look like they're going to blow up their...
Yeah, I mean, well, I think Andrew Luck hasn't thrown a football in like 2 years at this point almost. That's... I mean, he may never play again.
Yeah, when you take that long, you almost have to start thinking, well, maybe this is over.
Yeah. Well, not even, like, take that long, but not even, like, able to... That's kind of...
Yeah, like he's throwing koosh balls because that's all he can pick up.
So I don't the only team in the NFL, honestly, I would say fuck it with picks and maybe just go for it now would be like you got Deshaun Watson, you got a defense that's gonna get older.
Do you have Deshaun Watson? Like, how's his injury recovery going?
I heard he's doing very well. He's practicing again. I don't think they're too worried about him missing any time coming back right now. Because like. You know, if you're going to tell your ACL, you might as well 21.
Sure.
You know, and especially if you're going to do it also in 2018, where you're a little bit better off than you were, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's not like Jim Cornette tearing his ACL and they just squeeze his fucking knee out into a bedpan and then tape it together.
I mean, we are living in the age where Adrian tore every AC 2 times.
And then took a ton of steroids.
And still became MVP. And hit his kid. So what a story.
With the switch on the dick, right? Didn't he hit him on the dick?
Really?
I'm pretty sure he hit him in the dick. Or the testicles.
Fucked up shit. That's really, I mean, I don't think Julio will be traded. It's probably some, but if he did, the only team that really makes sense to me to blow it up would be, I mean, I don't think Jacksonville would need him.
What are the Chargers doing? Like, has anybody figured that out?
I think the Chargers have, like, a ton of great... I think the Chargers keep kind of knowing, like, this shit with Gruden doesn't work out. I mean, Kansas City just blew it up. And Denver's probably... I mean, realistically, the Chargers could win the division. And they've kind of been in that position of, well, we could win it, or we could be really bad for the past, like, 5 or 6. I think that's kind of the issue there right now with the L.A. Chargers.
Feels like the Chargers is just a shitty team that Phillip Rivers is just carrying to, like... base mediocrity.
Yeah, well, and, like, I think the defense plays well. And, like, in terms of wide receiver, it's just they all get hurt. That's been their...
Well, that's all. Yeah.
But I think if you are an L.A. Chargers, I mean, that's a team
nice
that
to meet
win
you.
The division.
You're the one.
Yeah. But that's a team that could win the division this year, and I would not be shocked. I don't buy into Pat Mahomes, the guy. I think I think Kansas City's going to look back on that and go, oh, we could have had a shot.
Hey, the Chiefs are going to throw it deep, baby.
We'll see what happens.
I never really bet against Andy Reid when it comes to quarterback. He's got a long history.
No, he does.
Of getting a lot of production out of some guys who never produced anywhere else.
No, 100%. But I just don't know if I can buy them.
I mean, they don't have to be that good to win that division. As long as the Raiders continue being like, yeah, it's 1997.
Yeah.
Like, have you heard the new Pearl Jam? Like, as long as that continues to be the Raiders' ethos.
And Denver going with Case Keenum as their guy, 100% for sure. as a division, like, you could probably win 9 games.
I can't wait for, like, Denver to do this, to do it to Indianapolis twice and then go get Andrew Luck. And then suddenly Andrew Luck isn't, like, his career's back. And
he's, like, on weed therapy. Yeah. The Mile High air, his shoulder. You know, that would be really funny.
You know John Elway wants to get, like, the other great Stanford quarterback, because there's only 3, and John Elway's one of them. And Andrew Luck is the second one.
No, but that might be something. What are the Colts going to, you know? Because they're going to be, there's going to be a quarterback there, probably.
I would take a quarterback. I mean, I'm sorry. There's a lot of good ones, and the 2 best ones seem to be undervalued by other teams in the draft, so.
RBC, you see what you got with the kid they got for the Patriots? Jacoby?
Yeah, I watched that dude in college a lot. There was never a point in NC State where I thought that future NFL quarterback.
I think he's probably overachieved because Belichick's decent, that's fair to say. Yeah. But I think this year's draft will be interesting. But I think once again we're going to continue to be really bored. That's my prediction. We're all going to be bored.
I think once the outrage subsides from, oh my God, they actually did pick Josh Allen, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to all fall down.
But, I mean, we don't know that because the Browns, they've been willing to trade back. So, I mean, if you can trade back to 4, still get Lamar Jackson, I think you're well off.
Yeah, I mean, if they do that, sure.
I mean, that's, I mean, you do that, you get the bag, and you get your guy, and you're golden. And that'll be fun. It's going to be interesting. I think that much. Maybe not as fun as this NBA draft.
No.
Before we get out of here, anything?
All I have to say is 24-carat Santo Gold.
And all I have to say is, don't be ridiculous, new catchphrase.
It sounds familiar.
I would argue it's perfect, stranger. Quick fuck yous of the week. Fuck you to Westworld. You're confusing. I don't know why people watch you. You're not a good show.
That is a show that I have never watched a single second of and never will.
It's not even like Game of Thrones, because at least Game of Thrones kind of admit what it is. I think Westworld thinks it's...
Does it have as much tits?
Oh, yeah.
If I can be Joe Lanza for a minute.
I think someone called it like pulp. Psychological.
So it's just like Cannibal with less murders and more nudity?
Yeah, and robots.
That's the thing loses me with Westworld, is that they're fucking robots. And I go, why?
That's how it was in the first movie.
I didn't watch the...
It's based on a...
A film or a miniseries? Because those are 2 different things.
I think it was a film, wasn't it? Like a TV film.
That doesn't count.
About like a Western theme park that came to life. I think it was like a book first. I don't know.
It sounds bullshit. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's not a show. I'm not really into the HBO. I used to be all about that. It's really fallen out. It was even... I ended up enjoying the last Game of Thrones, but it was like I kind of had to make my... Because I'm just kind of out of the whole lifestyle.
I feel like HBO hasn't been right since that era ended of like Sopranos, Deadwood, and Rome. Which, now that I say it, was... Oh, yeah, that's when things started to go bad. Now that I say it, it's just like the dutiest dude-ass dude shows of all time. Like, Rome was literally nothing but tits and people getting their throat cut open.
Yeah. Well, even then, though, like, Curb, I thought they had a bit of a renaissance. I'm tired of Veep and Silicon. I didn't watch the new season of Curb because I'm kind of tired of it.
Here's my problem with Veep. There's never been a moment ever in the history of that show where it's been as good as The Thick of It. Ever. The Thick of It is the funniest fucking show about politics ever written.
I will say this, Dan. It was, like, the best prediction of Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah, Armando Iannucci is really, really fucking savvy about how politics, which is almost ridiculous because he's a comedian.
I've always heard it. It's literally the most realistic.
Which is sad. But, The Thick of It is, like, you should watch The Thick. You would love The
Thick. It's like British. Right? It's like a British deal.
Yeah, it's a British show.
It's just Veep, but British.
Well, I mean, they're first, but it's funnier because Malcolm Tucker.
Well, no, Dan. Whatever happens in America is always first. We beat England.
I think just because of the way English politics works, where if you have the prime ministership, it means you have the most votes in the parliament, which means you have the power to do things, which I think leads to more comedy. The American political system is basically nobody actually does it because it's always caught in stalemate. Yeah. Whereas like the UK system is more about like wrangling cats together so that you can accomplish.
That reminds me of another fuck you. The West Wing's coming back. So fuck you to everyone involved in that.
Seriously, no. Like, you think we're joking. No, fuck you. Yeah, fuck you to everybody, whoever worked in the Obama
administration. Yeah, I don't know. Didn't Obama...
It was terrible when it was around. Like, it was terrible the first time. It's a show about politics by a guy who doesn't understand how politics work. Which is fine.
We went through the newsroom.
Because he's a guy who wrote a show about news, about a, who didn't know how news worked. He's a guy who wrote a show about social networks. He doesn't understand how that works. He's a guy who wrote a show about sports TV, about a sports highlight show, who doesn't understand how that works. That's Sorkin's whole deal, is he writes shows about things.
Has Sorkin ever been good?
No, all of his shit is bad.
Well, it's his first thing, right?
I think he had a writer's credit on what's the movie about the court martial? You want the truth, you can't handle the truth.
Not Thin Red Line, or Thin Red something, The Hunt for Red October. No,
I think it is The Thin Red Line.
I think it is he had to be part of something, I would assume.
Sports Night, I think, is his best show, because who gives a shit if you're wrong about how, like, sports sound?
Yeah. Well, and, like, it's a fun backdrop.
If you're wrong about, like, how politics, it's more glaring, because more people kind of know how that was.
Well, and, like, people, that's the other thing, is, like, people really think politics works that way because of the West Wing. Now, it's only, like, 400,000, unfortunately. That 400,000 people have a lot of power.
I would say his worst was Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah,
because he's the least funny person in the world, and he tried to make a show about making a comedy. And I think if he had never shown skits, I think he might have been able to get away with it. Because if it was all about the shit behind the scenes of like how a Saturday Night Live show happened, and then you never actually see the shit they're putting together, he maybe could have pulled it off. But the minute he tried to, like, write sketches and you found out, oh, my God, this guy's about as funny as, like, watching a child die.
Yeah, well, I thought that's how, like, 30 Rock knit the show was shitty, which was, like, a wonderful jab.
So they didn't have to, like, spend time working on bit. Right?
No, when they did a bit, it was Tracy Morgan dressed as Yo Mama, which is, like, what's really big on SNL is something, especially, like, during the Tina Fey era.
Like Gilly. It's basically like a Gilly, like a Kristen Wiig Gilly, where she just makes a face and goes, ah.
Gilly was great. So yeah, that'll be my fuck you. So Westworld, Aaron Sorkin, and the Nation of Australia.
Fuck you of the week to that stupid fucking baby.
Fucking royal, I hope the royal baby.
I hope it gets fucking SIDS.
I was going to be like an anarchist. I can always root for the royal.
The only good royal's a dead one. Yeah, that's where I get, like, extremely hardcore.
What about George Brett?
Yeah, he had hemorrhoids, so that makes him, like, biologically.
Did he?
Yeah, he famously had hemorrhoids. He did an ad for Preparation H.
Good for him. Over so brave.
That's real bravery. Like, not, like, the Duke of Cambridge or whatever he is, like, was in the room when his wife gave birth, and they want to give him a medal for it.
Is that what they did? I saw that trending last night. It's just like, I don't...
Like, the press release included that the Duke of Cambridge was in the room. Like, it was the weirdest, like, little, like, aside. Like, well, yeah, he was in the... Well, I fucking hope so. Like, what the fuck is he doing? Pacing the hot, like, the waiting room with cigars? Well,
Dan, I think we agree on this, too. Here's the most annoying thing about the royal family. We fought a goddamn war tonight. Like, people died, so like we wouldn't have to get
If British
tweets.
People want
to
be, like, mentally ill and care about this shit, all right, like...
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
you're all
pain.
Weirdly...
You know what I mean?
You're all inbred. Like, everybody in England is either an inbred rich guy whose eyes are too close together and whose teeth are too long and who look like a fucking mongoloid because, you know, their cousins are all fucking each other so they can keep the money in the family. Or you're a lower class person who lives in a council flat who's not allowed to go to school because of your social standing. So, like, I get if they're stupid enough to, like, not understand this is bullshit.
No,
because they're literally not allowed to know better.
And, like, that's your culture or whatever. I'm not going to tell you how to leave.
But don't fucking ask me to care. And, like, this is
what don't interrupt our team when, like, another inbred baby is born. We don't interrupt the team when Khloe Kardashian...
And they're more important. They've actually accomplished...
Yeah, because they actually had to make them. All but Khloe, at least, daughter.
Really? I don't buy that.
That's what everyone thinks, because she doesn't look anything like...
No, nobody thinks she's OJ's daughter. Everybody thinks she's the hairdresser's daughter, because she looks exactly like her mom's old hairdresser.
Oh, I've always heard OJ.
No, she doesn't look anything like OJ. She looks exactly like pick up a, like, just Google, whatever that woman's name is. Like, Jan, whatever, Jill, or whatever her fucking name is.
Jill Kardashian.
Whatever that mom's name is. Like,
Kris Jenner.
Kris Jenner hairdresser. Google that. And it's, like, comically obvious that's Khloe's dad. It couldn't, like, it's literally
like
Charlotte
John
Flair.
Redhorn.
It's like if you held Charlotte Flair's picture up against Ric Flair's and be like, maybe Ric Flair fathered this woman.
No, it's like the King of the Hill deal.
Yeah, it's John Redcorn.
Joseph Gribble and John, he's the daddy. There you go. It's the show. So it's going to be back, Dan.
It feels very good to be back.
So next week, we're going to be recapping the hot draft that happened. We're going to talk about more of the NBA. See storylines come together. And maybe we'll get ready to dive. I've got something in mind, Dan.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And on that note, because I got to go to bed, it's play the music, Jason.